Welcome back to the Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. We're talking about the Working Genius, and I'm here with Working Genius expert Doug Bradle, Chief Operating Officer of Nussbaum. Hey, Doug.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for being here. So are you really a Working Genius genius?
I guess you could call it that. I like Working Genius. I don't consider myself a genius.
But you've done the facilitator class, and you've gone through teaching this to other people at teams at Nussbaum. So it's something you're comfortable with.
Yep.
At least. So.
Yep, that is correct.
Great. Well, and thanks for being here. 22 years of experience at Nussbaum, and how did that journey start out for you? What made you want to come to Nussbaum?
Yeah, that's a good question. I never envisioned myself at a trucking company. I went to college to study agronomy. So I was planning on being a weed expert and working out in the field and doing crop scouting and those sorts of things, and that didn't work out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had a couple family friends that worked here, and the opportunity came along to apply for a job, and here we are 22 years later.
Yeah. Wow. So you just said that I want to work with trucks more than plants.
Basically.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure you didn't envision to where you are today.
No.
You were like, this seems like a good job. I have some family that works here, some friends, and it would be a good fit for you.
Yeah, and I had grown up on a farm, and I had my CDL, and I was driving a truck hauling grain locally. Yeah. So I had a little experience with
that. That makes a lot of sense.
But... Yeah, I still didn't envision sitting in an office all day, but it's been a real blessing. It was obvious when the opportunity came that this is where the Lord wanted me to be.
Yeah.
And it's been a blessing to work here.
Wow. And we were reflecting on this before the show about how Nussbaum has changed in the culture side of things and really to impact people, and just how with your job there's a large influence that you can have on people here, and I'm sure that's rewarding to look on and see how, it's impacted people and people want to work here, and
That's probably the most fulfilling, or one of the most fulfilling parts of my job, is to see people get placed in a position that they enjoy and that they succeed in.
Yeah.
And that's really, you know, where Working Genius fits in all of that, not to necessarily segue into it, but it played a big role in kind of helping perpetuate that journey.
Yeah. Well, it's a great segue. You kind of beat me to the punch with that one. So maybe I should be having you do this.
I don't think so.
But no, you're absolutely right. It's about loving what we do. And it's not necessarily about competencies, though you will be good about your things that you have a genius in, but it's more about the joy factor. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the fulfillment of what you're doing, what brings you end of the day. It's like, I really love doing that. And so with our jobs, we have things that we're get excited about that fill our bucket, and things that drain us. And that's what the Working Genius is in a nutshell. And there's lots of assessments out there. I think you've probably taken maybe every one there is.
A few of them, anyways.
The DISC, the Enneagram, Myers-Briggs. So what makes this one different than other
assessments? Yeah, that's a good question. So I have taken a few of them.
Yeah.
And a lot of those I would call personality assessments. They're giving us a look at who we are. Where Working Genius really differs is, yes, it's a personality assessment, but it's more of almost a productivity assessment. It's really a tool to help us understand what parts of work we like. And then we can leverage that in a way that makes us be more productive and more satisfied in the process.
Well, you're telling me something. If I've never heard about the working genius, there are parts of work that I'm not going to like. Are you telling me that?
Correct. That is absolutely correct.
Really? Well, and I think...
But the other side of that is there are parts of work that you will like.
Yeah.
And you do like.
Wow. And I think that's almost liberating to realize I don't have to be great at everything. And I can rely on the strengths that you have that... And that's my next question. What are your strengths, your genius, so that the working genius calls it your genius?
Yep.
And then your working frustrations. What are your geniuses and frustrations?
Yeah, so my working genius is wonder and tenacity. Mm. So, and we'll dive into that a little bit later here, but they actually kind of fight themselves because they're at opposite ends of the spectrum. But that was actually some of the most illuminating part about actually learning about working genius was just some of the challenges that are created because of how I'm made, mm-hmm. right? And really that's what this is. Sometimes with other personality assessments, over time they can change mm-hmm. because job roles change, you know, our responsibilities right. change, and maybe our focus changes. So that can impact our personality. Table Group, which is the company behind Working Genius, mm-hmm. would say that our Working Genius doesn't change. It's how we're made.
Yeah.
And how we operate as a child is how we operate as an adult.
Mm.
Just with... our working genius. If you were a wonder as a child, you're going to be a wonder as an adult.
Yeah.
So for me, my frustration, I guess my competencies would be discernment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm losing it here. Enablement.
Okay.
Discernment and enablement. And then my frustrations would be galvanizing and invention.
Okay. And we will talk about that because if some people are familiar with this, the working genius, and I think most people mm-hmm. around Nussbaum, I think, is it required to be an employee? You have to take this, or is it dependent on which department you're in?
I think most people, once they apply for a job here and come in for an interview, they're taking the assessment. Yeah,
sure. So, well, it's good to know. And just a refresher then for people listening, can you break down those categories and we'll talk about how that plays out in your life and my life and how it affects Nussbaum? How do we change our work based on that? How does it change our teams? But before we do that, we should understand what are these different pieces? You mentioned yours are two different sides of the spectrum, wonder and tenacity.
So right.
What is this chain of events that happens?
Yeah. So, really, to take a step back from it, it's working genius, but it's really also identifying what are the different steps of work, any work that happens. So the first step to work is someone's got to wonder about why things are the way they are.
Right. Why are they so bad?
Yeah.
A lot of the times.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why can't it be done better or why can't it be done different? So that's wonder. That's the first piece. The wonder leads to, someone asks the question, and that leads to the person that answers it, right? That's the inventor. Mm-hmm. So you have wonder that leads to invention. Mm-hmm. Invention is answering the question and then building something out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So invention's building something new, but once you've invented something, it's got to be fine-tuned and made sure that actually the invention's going to work the way it's been made.
Right.
So the next step in work is discernment.
Hmm.
Taking that invention, discerning it, saying, hey, that's a really good tool you've got, or it could be made a little bit different, make this tweak and it'll be better.
Hmm.
The next step to that, and I say the next step, but many times actually it doesn't work quite that directly or linearly. But the next step would be galvanizing. So you've got this invention that's been made. It's answered this question. It's been made, so it's good. But now you got to get people excited about
it.
So you got to have a galvanizer that comes along and says, hey, that's a great idea, and I like getting people excited, so I'm going to sell it. So they get people excited, and the ones that they get excited are the people that like to just help, right? So that's the next step after galvanizing is enablement.
Yeah, someone's got to do the work or help get the work done.
Somebody's got to get the work done, and you've got to have people that want to do that, and they raise their hand. They like to help people. They like to get things done. So that's kind of what enablement is referring to, is people that like to enable or like to help get things done. So the last step then to work would be what they term tenacity, which is basically just the people that really like to check things off their list.
Check boxes.
Check boxes, absolutely. They're the ones that every Saturday, they've got a Saturday list. Whenever they go shopping, they've always got a list with them. As opposed to the ones that are constantly calling their wife and say, hey, what was the next thing you wanted me to get?
Yeah.
Because they didn't write it down. So yeah, wonder, invention, discernment, galvanizing, enablement, tenacity.
Well, that's a great explanation. And we can have two of each of these, right? So six of them. So two of the geniuses, two competencies, and two frustrations.
Correct. Right? That would be the thought, is you've got two of each. And the underlying premise is something that is a genius is something that gives you joy and fulfillment in doing it. So if you're a wonderer, you enjoy asking questions. You enjoy spending time in thought. You could just spend hours looking out your window, kind of daydreaming about the way things are, the way things should be. If you're a galvanizer, then you enjoy sitting behind this microphone and getting people excited about some new idea or some company practice or whatever. If you've on the other side, if you've got a frustration in that area, it's just the opposite. If you're living in that area, it drains you. You don't like it. You avoid it. You're going to stay away from it. You may do bad at it. You may actually do good at it, but you don't like it.
Right.
So, as I mentioned for myself, galvanizing is a frustration. Invention's a frustration. So I wonder all the time, but I have a hard time coming up with new ideas on how to fix that wonder. Right? That's because for me, it has to be an intentional effort to come up with a new idea. Whereas for somebody who's got an invention genius, they actually enjoy it and they do it without even thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's sometimes with your job, you're placed in areas where it may not be a great fit or certain parts of your job. So this is teaching us what type of work to lean into and what type of work to avoid so you can play into your strengths. So, and sometimes you're placed in a role where you have to do something, but it's, you may learn how to do it fairly well and it might be burning you out a little bit or you might be losing joy. So someone could look at you and say, you do really good at this. And it's like, well, I'm not feeling good about this. I'm slowly losing my spark. Like, so example, Patrick Lencioni, the creator of this content, he's a speaker, really great speaker, but he's not a galvanizing genius. So if he did this day in and day out, he would be burnt out. He enjoys other parts of the puzzle. And then a personal example of this in my life. So galvanizing and enablement are my two geniuses, quote unquote. So I love getting people excited. It's called the enthusiastic encourager. I'll get you excited and I'll say, hey, let's go do it together. That's the two things I like doing and getting people excited. So when I was a kid, I had this idea to create this giant skateboard, and we're gonna get my whole family on it because I wanted to make a family skateboard. I just, you know, I want the family all to be on it, and I spray painted a giant a six on it. This is the Rumbled Six skateboard, and everyone is gonna get on it, and we're gonna go scoot around on the skateboard as a family. And I got just a piece of wood and drilled some little wheels on it, and I made the skateboard. It was terrible. It was awful. It didn't fit the whole family, didn't work the way it was supposed, and no one wanted to ride it. So,
but they were all excited. You had them all excited about the thing, right?
And that's my thing, is like, I have a frustration of discernment. So I didn't realize that this was not a great idea. That I should have had someone give me some discernment, like, oh, maybe you have this, but have you thought about maybe not doing that? So I look back on that and I laugh, but it does show, you, like you said, as a kid, you have those same things in you that you grow up in, you don't really change. You kind of stay that same type of person.
No, I think there's elements that are the same. And you hit on something that's really interesting with job burnout. So if you're in a job where you spend most of your time in your working genius, you're going to be pretty fulfilled with that. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to come to work every day really feeling good. If you're spending your time and your job requires you to spend a lot of time in your frustration, you're probably going to hate your job. It's not going to end well. And you actually may be good at it, but you're not going to like it. Probably the sneakiest part about it is your competencies. And if you're working in your competency. So for myself, it's enablement and discernment. Well, discernment is basically having really good gut feel. Yeah. Like you just know if things are going to work or they're not going to work. You don't live by analysis. You don't live by numbers necessarily. You just know if things work well or if things don't work well. So if I had to live in that environment all the time, I would start to feel pretty burnt out because it stresses me to make those kind of decisions. Yeah. And that's the danger of competencies. You can actually be good at it and you can get some enjoyment out of it. So sometimes that responsibility can be piled on more and you don't really recognize it and it'll lead to burnout.
So then people might take stuff to you and be like, oh, Doug's really good at discerning this.
Right.
And they'll say, hey, what's your thoughts on this? But if you're doing that all day, then that's not where you get your energy from.
Exactly. Yeah. And even more than that, like suppose my job was in marketing.
Yeah.
And I was getting pulled into making decisions on interior design, for example, or something along those lines, where you're kind of just making, well, aesthetically, how does something look? That's not me. You know, and those are the types of things that if I had to do a lot of that, that would really be frustrating.
Yeah.
Even though that's not my frustration necessarily.
Right. Yeah. So the way competencies work is you can do it and do it fairly well, but it slowly will drain you. Maybe not as fast draining as a frustration. Frustrations are actively hurting you. I don't know the best way to describe that.
Frustration is going to be something that you have an active
dislike
of.
But you won't be like, I don't, yeah, you kind of feel neutral about it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So could take it or leave it.
Yep.
But it's not something that you're going to pick up and do out of just joy. So it's great. Thanks for breaking down those different types and helping us understand. Before we get any further, I wanted to ask, why should we use the working genius? What are the pros of it? And we've already talked about loving your work. That's a great motivator. Mm-hmm. Are there any reasons why we should use this?
Yeah, obviously for personal reasons. It's just for job fulfillment, job enjoyment. That's a big thing. I mentioned also productivity, just from a company standpoint and optimizing employees. Having people in a spot where they want to be and where they thrive is more beneficial for the company as well, right? But then there's also the team aspect to it where the table group would say that every job is a six-letter job, right?
Every job has every single one of these inside
of them. Every single one of them. So if you have a team, for example, if you've got a team of driver managers, you could say, well, all they really need is enablement tenacity, right? They're there to help people and they're there to get the job done. They got to answer the phones as fast as they can. Well, actually, they need all of the geniuses represented. And you can rely on a competency, but you're even better if you have all of the geniuses represented because you need someone to ask the question, well, how could we be improving as time goes on? Or else things stagnate. And you need an inventor who can answer that question of we should be doing this better. Well, how do we do it better? So you actually do need all of the geniuses represented on a team to really be effective.
Is that something we've strived to do here, try to place people in different areas, or how does that work? Because you apply to a job and you'll get put into it. Maybe there's not as much weight on a working genius, but how does that play out?
Yeah, I I think it has definitely played into decisions of where people are placed. And you know, there's the other side. It doesn't have to be like adding someone to the team with a certain working genius isn't the only way to get that represented. You can still go to somebody else and pull them in for right. decisions. And I think that's one of the big benefits of identifying working genius is finding who are the people that enjoy discernment, for example. Yeah. And if you've got a certain job type or role that really doesn't lend itself towards discernment, well, you can find somebody from a different part of the company and pull them in for certain decisions. So there's ways that you can leverage people and still improve and be better.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm thinking with operations, a lot of it is enablement and tenacity. Mm-hmm. We got to make calls. We got to make sure that you know everyone's taken care of, that emails are being sent. There's a lot of do it, you know, check this off the list, which is great. And I think we do have a lot of people here that are strong in those skills, but they can still pull other people in and use those ideas from different departments and...
Right. There's still ways to work together and figure out things that need to be improved or changed, even if that's not like the natural inclination of your typical driver manager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. So you mentioned, so the reasons why we should is there's that productivity and also the team aspect. So I can rely on other people on things that I'm lacking and tell me what things should I lean more into or what things should I try to avoid. So is there any other insights from Nussbaum using the Working Genius as a company, ways that you've seen it affect people in a positive way, any personal revelations with yourself too, if there's any ones that you've thought about?
Well, so for myself, one of the biggest ones was that wonder and tenacity is my genius. And to go back to that, so to use a comparison to altitude, wonder operates at 30,000 feet, right? You're at a very high level. You're thinking about everything. You're willing to look into any possibility. And as you progress through the working genius platform, you're slowly coming down closer to ground level, right? So invention operates at 25,000 feet, say, and discernment is at 20, and galvanizing 15, and so on, until you get down to tenacity, which operates at ground level, meaning we use the term they're in the weeds, right?
Yeah.
They want to just get the work done. That's their goal. So when I have wonder operating at 30,000 feet and tenacity down here, like, I've got this idea, like, we could be doing better, and I want to just get it done. Like, just tell me how to do it.
Right.
But I have an invention frustration. Mm-hmm. So it always is very frustrating, and I still deal with this at home, right? My garage is a mess. I'd love to organize it better, but I don't know the best way to do it.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
So those were just things that were highlighted when I came across Working Genius. And then it really helps you know, oh, who's the person I need to ask to help me? Right? And if you're at work here, now you can identify the people that can help you in your job in areas where you may be lacking. That can be a real benefit of this. along with that is this assessment really helps us understand each other. And we so easily identify people based off of our paradigm without recognizing theirs. So, for example, there's the idea of craves and crushes, right? So, if I'm a wanderer, what I crave in life is people to say, "Hey, that's a really good question. I've never thought of that," right? But what crushes wonder and is going to make any wanderer go quiet is to say, "Oh, that's not relevant." Like, they've just asked this question that they thought was really profound, and you say, "Ah, nobody really cares," and blow past it. Well, that'll just shut them down. They won't ask any more questions. However, if you recognize that about each other, if I have a wonder frustration, I don't enjoy hearing somebody else wonder. That frustrates me. And if I'm a wanderer and I'm aware of that about somebody else, now we can work together better and be more effective. So we can, you know, as a team, if a team goes through this exercise,
yes,
and they each do the assessment, and then, yep, you can start to line people up, now you can have a better understanding of your coworkers and why they do the things that they do. We had one team here, I'm not going to call any names, but we had one team here where one person was very obviously made differently from everybody else on the company, mm-hmm, or on the team. And the assessment highlighted that, and it really explained some differences, you know, in work style, work habits, the way they approach things. And instead of saying, well, that person's just lazy in how they approach their work, there was more of an understanding, oh, they're made entirely different from, mm-hmm, how we're made. You know, they're, yeah, call it a discernment inventor, as opposed to being galvanizing tenacity, right, or whatever, you know.
Right.
And the difference in those combinations can be pretty stark.
It is, yeah, interesting to see how that plays out. And from taking teams through this, you've done that before of looking at, mm-hmm, each person, like, okay, this team is heavy on this side and this maybe light on this side. There's maybe some blind spots to be careful about. And it's helped me to see. So discernment is something that frustrates me. And for a while, I would get frustrated when I would take an idea to someone and they would be like, well, I'm excited about this idea. And they're like, shoot it down. So yep, that, yep, would be like, oh man. But then what helped me with the working genius was to say, it was like, actually, that's really good because they're expressing their gifts, how God made them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can really just rely on their strengths. Like, this is their strength. And I'm just gonna trust that, like, you know, that's, it is for the best. And it's hard when stuff like that happens, but you realize that as a team, you're gonna be better when you're sticking to the stuff that you're best at.
Yeah, that's right. And that, you know, this was really highlighted to me. You mentioned earlier about the course or whatever, a couple day course that, mm-hmm, I went through to learn, yeah, more about this. And one of the exercises that was the most eye opening was an online class, and there was people from all over the world that, yeah, were on it. So at one point they broke us into small teams of three or four people. So I was paired with a gentleman that was in Chicago and a lady that was, I don't remember where she was, somewhere overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And we were given an assignment. We were given a team list and kind of told how would you use this information to come up with some sort of plan. I kind of forget the details of it, but the short of it was, it became obvious in a real hurry that they had placed us together because of our working geniuses. So all of the geniuses were represented on this team of three people. Mm-hmm. And you could quickly see how those geniuses came out. Mm-hmm. Like one person quickly started coming up with ideas. Well, he was the inventor in the group.
Right.
And another person started modifying those ideas. It was the discerner in the group. And you could see very quickly how they all worked together and the value of having all of them represented.
Hmm. That's pretty cool, especially to break it down in that small group,
yeah,
setting and see that this is a natural thing that happens.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be forced or assigned.
Yeah.
It's how God made us, and that's, yeah, how it plays out.
So does this happen just at work, or does this happen at home too? Like, does it play out in other parts of our lives?
Oh, this plays out everywhere. Yeah, we are who we are, whether,
right,
we're at work or whether we're at home.
Okay, how does that happen? Like, can you describe that a little bit, how that might affect? You mentioned your garage.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's one example. I'll give you a really good example. And I don't think it'll embarrass her if I bring it up, but my wife has a wonder frustration. And that comes out very quickly when we go shopping, because I want to see all of the different options that are, yeah, out there, and she wants to get it bought. So
yeah, she's high in tenacity.
She's high in tenacity and has a wonder frustration, so she don't care about all the options.
Just get it done. I just want it done.
Exactly. Yeah.
Stop looking at the options. We just get, yeah, a cereal. Let's go.
Yep.
Okay, that's great. It does help, and you realize God made you that way, and it's a blessing,
mm-hmm,
you know, and just to rely on other people. And I think it's been been fun to learn. It's easy to pick up versus some other tools that are out there. Take a little bit of studying. You have to look at it and like, oh, where's my graph fall at? But you can pick this up in about a day. You can take the assessment, and then by the next day, you can be thinking about it. It applies directly to your work and to your life. And so I know we have drivers out there that probably haven't taken it, or other people listening to this podcast. So you can check that out at theworkinggenius.com and then be able to keep talking about it with the people in your lives. And
I would actually, yeah. I mean, an assessment only costs $25. It's Is not it? A lot of money.
Yeah.
So for somebody that has an interest and kind of wants to understand themselves a little better, this can be a very easy way to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good tool. I didn't want to close things out too early. So if there's any other just comments or stuff when it comes to a sales pitch, Working Genius, you know, if it changed your life or anything else you'd like to comment about the Working Genius and the power of it.
There's an example I like to share. It makes me smile a little bit to think about it. So I mentioned craves and crushes.
Yeah.
So it's a very real thing. Mm-hmm. And if you think about an inventor, if you have an invention genius, what you crave is freedom. You want the ability to just kind of do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. And what crushes you is constraint. So when you're told you've got to operate under these certain parameters here, or you're going to have to do it our way, that's going to kill invention. Mm-hmm. If you're a discerner, what really crushes you is being questioned, right? Because you're just going off of gut feel. You don't like being questioned and said, "Well, prove that to me." You've got to show it.
Yeah, some trust. Yeah.
Exactly. If you're a galvanizer, what you crave is simply a reaction, right? And it doesn't matter whether it's a good reaction or a bad reaction. If it's a good reaction, then yes, you've been successful. Mm-hmm. If it's a bad reaction, it just makes you want to sell harder. Okay?
True.
So what crushes you is no reaction at all. Mm-hmm. That's going to kill the galvanizing. And I bring that up because, Chris Aranda and I kind of go back and forth with our jobs. We interact quite a lot.
Yeah.
And he's a natural salesman. And a natural galvanizer. And I can be the type of person with a galvanizing frustration, it's easy for me to not give a reaction. So anyways, we've done that. We've had this back and forth a few times where he's trying to get a reaction out of me. I don't give him a reaction. And it can really frustrate him. So
that's interesting.
It's interesting to know, the craves and crushes are very real.
Yeah.
We're people. And they do bring about in us.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're real, and it's something that can really help us in interacting with each other when we're aware of that.
I think that's a great way. Another layer, because it's simple to understand, but there's a lot of depth. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could keep going down, but so craves and crushes, I think, is the interesting way to look at it. For myself, I didn't realize how real that was until you said to get a reaction on someone. I do a lot of things just to get a reaction. Yesterday I got one of laser pointers and I just started pointing it around at Kyle's desk until I got a reaction.
Yeah.
And that was something where I probably shouldn't be doing that too often. But I really want to get a reaction out of people. When I send out an email, I want to get a response. If you don't want to hear from me anymore, just don't reply.
Just ignore it. Yeah, just ignore it.
But that's a really keen insight. And did you mention tenacity, what their crave and crush is?
Yeah, I'm so just curious. I didn't mention it, but for tenacity, what they crave is clarity. Mm-hmm. And what crushes them is ambiguity. Mm-hmm. So if, for a tenacity person, they just want to know what to do next. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the next step? What's the next box that I can check off? Mm-hmm. And if it's unclear or murky at all, they're gonna shrivel up and crawl into a corner.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's a really great way to put it. And when you, I'm going to quote you, when you approach someone, we use our own paradigm. Mm-hmm. We have our own glasses on. So when I look at, I see it through a Dayton glass world. When you're seeing stuff through a Doug glasses world, I have contacts. But
yeah.
So I need to learn how to step into your worldview, or else I might steamroll you or make a bad decision. So to learn, like, yep. Okay, I'm talking to Doug. He's a wonder, tenacity, genius. So that's going to help me put myself into your shoes, and also how to rely on you and
right.
Yeah, use those.
Right, exactly.
What things are going to crush you. Be careful about the way you say stuff. And
yeah.
So those craves and crushes are really interesting to me. So you talked about discernment, galvanizing, tenacity. Well, you hit almost all of them.
And so enablement yeah. was the one that didn't,
enablement,
that
I didn't yeah. hit.
So with enablement, what they crave is affirmation, mm-hmm. just recognition of. So enablement, they want to help, right? They'd love to be there to support and to help out. They're the first ones to say, what can I do? How mm-hmm. can I help you? So they want the affirmation or the recognition of that. And what's going to crush them is when that doesn't happen, when they're just kind of taken for granted and there's no notice of the extra work and effort that they did. Because many times they're the ones, you know, if you've got a church gathering, for example, mm-hmm. they're the ones that are there setting up the tables right. and taking the chairs down, right? They're kind of the ones that are quiet in the corner making sure everything still flows. Mm-hmm. And when nobody notices that, it's like, why do you keep doing it?
Mm-hmm. So the crave there would be to be recognized.
Yeah, recognition,
affirmation, mm-hmm. and then the crush would be just ignoring.
Yeah, yep, okay. Exactly.
That's really insightful. I'm gonna continue thinking about those, and I'm sure I can read up. So, from your reading and understanding, how did you learn so much about the working genius? Just
yeah. So, obviously, taking a course on it was what opened the door a lot. But then they do have a podcast. I don't necessarily follow it, but it can be very interesting where they tackle certain subjects. You know, one topic that we haven't talked about at all would be disruptors versus responders, mm-hmm. right? So if you look at, let me think about this. So you have wonder, discernment, and enablement. Those three would be considered responders. So they're responding to the environment. And if you look at invention, galvanizing, and tenacity, they're disruptors. So they're disrupting the environment. Invention's creating something new where it hasn't been before. So those three tend to disrupt the environment. Well, those are two very distinct personality types. Mm. And understanding that about each other can make a difference in how you interact with each other or how you appreciate each other. Mm. So those were all just things that, you know, they cover in a podcast yeah. that can be very insightful. And outside of that is actually just leading the classes and taking the time to talk through assessments with people has been a great way to learn it.
Yeah.
Because I've learned a lot about people yeah. and about these assessments, and it's really made me marvel, I guess, at how uniquely God has made each of us.
Yeah. I love that. And it's a great way to bring it all back to circle. These are the gifts that God has given you. Yeah. How are you using those gifts that God has given you? Any takeaways you'd like to leave people with? Final encouragement?
I think it's really just that we are all uniquely made, and that doesn't mean that you know, any one person is bad or good.
Right.
We're all unique. And we can, you know, a tool like this can really just help us appreciate everybody else better for how they are. And I use the word leverage their talents. That makes it sound like I'm using, you know, I'm talking about using other people.
Right.
But really, we can benefit from each other.
Yeah.
That's really what it yeah. boils down to.
Well, a tenacity person might look at someone with wonder and say, oh, they're lazy.
Exactly.
Or they're not doing work. It's like, they're just different than you.
And they're different than you, and they actually bring a lot of value.
A ton of value, yeah.
yeah.
And then vice versa. You know, the wonder could look at the tenacity and then
say all they want to do is work.
Right. They don't want to make things better.
That's right.
Yeah, they just want to keep doing it the same hard way.
Yeah.
They don't want to do it easier. So yeah. I love it. Yeah, it's really helpful. So any shout outs you'd like to say for anyone out there listening?
No, I don't think so. Okay. Nothing more to add.
That's great. Well, thanks again for being on here. This has been a lot of fun. Maybe a topic we can revisit in the future and talk about maybe some of these other subcategories, disruptor, responder. Thank you to our listeners, to our drivers out there. Thank you so much. And thank you to Daniel, audio, visuals. Thank you so much. And until next time, stay purpose-driven and own it every moment.
Hi, this is Lisa from Recruiting at Nussbaum, and I'd love to answer any questions you have about driving with us. Give us a call at 309-268-1199 or visit nussbaumjobs.com. Talk to you soon. You've been listening to Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. If you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word about these important topics and invite more people into conversation. You can rate and review us on your podcast app or visit us online at terminalexchange.org. New episodes arrive every other Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nussbaum on your favorite social media platforms and be the first to know when new episodes are released. Thanks for listening. Until next time, own every moment and stay purpose-driven.